All right. Well, happy Mother's Day. And if you're not a mom, if you're saying I'm a dad, I'm a single dad, I'm single, I'm just a person, I don't know what you want to call yourself this morning, but today's message is going to be a blessing for everyone. I invite you to stand up for the reading of God's word this morning, found in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2 through 7 today. 2 Timothy 1, verse 2 through 7. And it's a letter that Paul writes to Timothy. And he says, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience at night and day. I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your service, your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. Let me read verse 5 one more time. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity and fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word that we're about to receive as it brings encouragement to many moms here this morning. I pray for all of us here that have come to worship you. Lord, I just ask today that you would use me to preach your word and bless us in this word. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat as we go into this special Mother's Day message that I prayed about. I want to start by giving you a context of what's happening here in the life of Timothy. Timothy was a young pastor who was called to pastor the church of Ephesus. And in the scripture we just read, Paul is actually in prison. He's about to face death. He's about to be not only persecuted, but martyred. And as he faces death, the one person on his mind is Timothy. He writes this letter to Timothy, not just to encourage him, not just because he loves him, but he writes this letter to Timothy because he's concerned. You see, Paul sees that the fire that Timothy had, the fire, the passion, the love that he once had for ministry, the passion, the fire he had for the Lord, the passion that he had in his faith, he sees that that fire is dying. So Paul writes to fan the flame because in Timothy, he sees this fire that's dwindling. And Paul says, I remember your tears. Now, why is Paul talking about Timothy's tears? Because Timothy now is discouraged. Timothy feels helpless. You see, the church that Timothy was called to pastor is in Ephesus. And Ephesus was part of a major city with a port. And because this city was a port city, it was constantly filled with people that were busy. It was a city known to be very wealthy and rich with people with money. It was a distracting city. It was people who go to Ephesus because of pleasure. If you want to think about Ephesus and what it looked like at that time, you have to think about like the business district of New York, the pleasure of Las Vegas, and the distractions of Miami. That's what Ephesus was at that time. And Timothy was called to plant a church and to pastor a church there. But see, Timothy finds himself discouraged because he notices that many people want nothing to do with Jesus. And the people that he has in his church are straying away from the faith. And there's a lot of people questioning the authority of Timothy because of his age and experience. So not only does Timothy have the discouragement because he's young and people don't believe in him, but he also has the discouragement of people in the church not serving God the way they should. He has the discouragement of people that want nothing to do with Jesus. So as he prepares his sermons and he prays and he preaches the gospel, everything seems to be useless because it has no effect on the lives of the people there. Timothy begins to question his faith. He begins to question his calling. He begins to question the gift that God has given him for ministry. And Timothy's thinking in his mind, the fire that he had is so small right now, it's so weak, that Timothy begins to actually think about quitting it all. He's so discouraged, he thinks, should I just quit the ministry? He's so discouraged, he's saying, is any of this even worth it? Timothy is so discouraged, and the fire within him is so weak that in his dying days, Paul would write this letter to encourage him to fan the fire that's in him, to keep going, to keep believing, not to lose hope, not to be helpless, to keep walking and running this race because it's worth it. And he's reaching out to Timothy because Timothy is on a breaking point. He wants to give up and he's discouraged beyond measure. It's a reminder to all of us here this morning, whether you're a believer or not, all of us will go through seasons of discouragement. Even Paul said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, he wrote to Timothy. We all go through seasons of discouragement, and we go through seasons of fear. The fear that you're not going to make it. The fear that what you're doing doesn't matter. The fear that nothing's ever going to change. The discouragement that tells you, like it did Timothy, give up. Give up on your dreams. Give up on your prayers. Give up on your God-given gifts and calling. The helplessness that we carry when life crushes you is exactly what Timothy is experiencing. You see, as a Christian and as a believer, you're not always going to be on fire for the Lord. Actually, the opposite. As a believer of Jesus, you're going to go through such hardships that that fire is going to be threatened, where you're not going to be as passionate for the Lord like you used to be. You're not going to pray like you used to. You're not going to read the scriptures like you used to. There's going to be thoughts of doubt, of discouragement, where you tell yourself, is it even worth it? Should I just walk away from the Lord? Should I just give up on this vision and dream that he's given me? And the Bible is clear that Paul writes this letter to be an encouragement to keep going. You see, if you're not careful, the fire that you have for the Lord, the fire that you have for life, the fire that you have for the calling that God has given you could die. And it can become very easy to quit. It can become very easy to give up and even stop trying. And as I was thinking about Mother's Day, I was thinking about that fire. You see, I started thinking about this. It came to my mind as a few days ago, I was out on the boat with my brother, and I saw from a distance a lighthouse. And I started thinking about lighthouses and did some research. In the old lighthouses, there was a lighthouse keeper that at the darkest of night would get a candle. The old lighthouses were lit by candle. And this lighthouse keeper, every night, would light a candle. He would walk up these long flight of stairs. And he made sure to put this candle in the light post that reflected off this window, this mirror, because he knew this little flame that I have reflects out there into the world. And if there's any boat out there that's lost, If there's any ship out there that's discouraged and in the hurricane, in the storm, if there's a dense, thick fog where people are confused and don't know what direction to go, he would light that fire to show the way. And that lighthouse innkeeper made sure to light this fire because he knew the little flame that he had made an impact and a difference of someone's life out there. And that lighthouse keeper made sure every night that that fire, that flame was going. So he would spend every night sleepless, making sure that fire was on, making sure that it never went out. Folks, can you imagine that you're just sitting throughout the entire night, staying awake, looking at a small candle? Doesn't seem like much. Doesn't seem like you're significant. Doesn't mean like it's useless. But that lighthouse keeper knew that that candle that kept burning through the light would make a difference for someone out there that was lost. And when I thought about that, I thought about mothers. When you look at moms today, you might think like what you do doesn't matter. You might look like between a busy life, a busy day, work, homework, chores, cleaning, scheduling, everything your kids have going, everything that you do to maintain a home. You look at your little life right now and you might be thinking, it doesn't matter what I'm doing. It's not making a difference. The devil has a way of bringing discouragement. He has a way of telling moms that what you're doing doesn't matter. It's not going to make a difference in your children's life. But see, I want to talk to mothers today that are on the verge of burnout. I want to talk to mothers this morning that feel like that fire that they have for life in the Lord is going away. Because I believe with all my heart, the devil is after your fire. The devil wants to stop you. And as I look at the fire, how easy it is to burn out. How easy it is to quit. This is exactly what the devil wants for your life. This is exactly what he tries to do. But see, like the fire inside that lighthouse, it shines in the darkest of night. It shines through the fogs and it shines through the storms. And that lighthouse innkeeper makes sure that that fire keeps burning no matter what. And I want to encourage all the mothers here this morning who are feeling like they're burned out, who are feeling like the fire in their life and the Lord is gone. I want to encourage you this morning that what you're doing right now matters. And the child that God has given you, he could have given to anyone else, but he gave it to you because he saw that there was no one better to do the job of mom than you. And what you do every morning, I know you're tired, I know you're discouraged, I know you may be living in fear, but what you're doing is not a small little flame. What you do every day in your child's life has a traumatic impact on their future and their destiny. And my word for you here, mom, is keep the fire going. Don't lose that fire. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 20, the Bible says, be joyful always. Pray continuously. And do not put out the Spirit's fire. It's so easy for the devil to want to put your fire out because he knows if you burn out, you will no longer have an impact on your child's life. And the devil wants to bring a lot of confusion and disaster, not only to your life, but the life of your children. And we're living in such a time in this world where it's going to take a long and a strong faith, a lot of grateful moms, a lot of people to raise godly children. Can I get a witness this morning? You see, the beautiful thing about lighthouses, is not only that they shine through the darkness and the storms and the fogs of night, but see, lighthouses itself were designed to have such a solid foundation that the lighthouse would stand to the impacts of waves through storms. It would stand centuries. You look at today, there are still lighthouses standing from the 1800s and earlier than that. Lighthouses were placed and designed to withstand the hardest of trials, the hardest of storms. So through the dark times, through the fog, and through the waves and the impacts, the lighthouses stood strong because of the foundation that it was on. You see, the Word of God, the Bible says that the Word of God is a foundation for your life. And it's going to take the Word of God and us standing firm to last and create a godly legacy in our lives where our children will continue to serve the Lord. You have to stand on the Word of God. You don't stand on your feelings. You don't stand on your emotions. You don't stand by what the world does. You don't stand by what anything you see. You stand by this book. And when you are a mama that stands by the Word of God, you will raise a godly legacy. I promise you that, because it is in the Word of God. If you are a single father, you stand on this Word of God. If you are a single person, you stand on this Word of God. Whatever you have in your life, whatever title God gives you, you stand on the foundations of the Word of God, because the devil wants to snatch it away from you, the Bible says. The Bible says that the devil is like a bird that wants to snatch the seed of God's Word out of your life. But if you are like that lighthouse that has a foundation that's built in faith in the Word of God, no matter what storms come in your life, no matter what fog of confusion comes, no matter how darkness may prevail, you will stand and see the light in the end, because your light is coming from Jesus Christ Himself. Give Him praise and honor in this house today. We need mothers to stand on the Word of God. And I'm grateful for a mom that stood on the Word of God and there was no budging her. And now that I'm a parent, I look back and I feel like I owe mom an apology, because I didn't realize how hard it was. But see, the Bible says that Timothy would not quit. In fact, Timothy would go on to serve the Lord, to finish the church, to finish his race, to finish his calling, to preach the gospel, to win souls, to serve God. The greatest gift you can give your children is serving the Lord. And Timothy would serve God and get through his discouragement because of what Paul wrote in this letter. Paul writes this letter to Timothy, who's discouraged and wants to quit, who's losing faith and the fire is dying. And as I studied this letter he wrote, in verse 5 is what spoke to me. The Bible says, I have been reminded of your sincere faith. But notice what he says, which first lived in who? Your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice. And I am persuaded now lives in you also. Hold that verse. Look at the generational. Look at the generational blessing. It started with grandma, went down to mom, went down to the child. How many of you want a generational blessing in your life? How many of you want a generational legacy? How many of you want to go home and be with the Lord knowing that your next generation is going to be just fine? It starts with, look, you're grateful for grandma. How many are grateful for your grandmothers? God, now that I have a child, I'm grateful for abuela and grandma. But notice what Paul says. Of all the words Paul could have said to Timothy, who was discouraged and wanting to give up, Paul did not over-spiritualize it. He could have. He could have said, Timothy, the Lord is sovereign in his ways, and you need to trust in his divine will, and you need to have faith that the Lord in his sovereignty is going to use the sanctification to bring about the glory of God in the heavens. He didn't over-spiritualize. He didn't even go manly and warrior. He didn't say, Timothy, stop crying, be a man, and suck it up. He didn't even compare. Paul could have said, oh, you're crying and because you're discouraged because no one came to church today to listen to your preaching. Well, what about me, Timmy? I'm in prison. I'm about to die. I'm about to lose my life. And I got way more problems than you do. But look at me. And I serve the Lord. And I'm strong in the faith. And I'm not weary. And I'm not losing my fire. You got to be more like me. He didn't even do that. You know what Paul did? He reminded Timmy. He reminded Timothy of the two most important people in his life. Your grandma and your mom. He says, what I bring to mind is the faith your grandmama and your mama had. What comes to my mind is your grandma. And your mom. Timothy, do you remember Grandma Lois? You remember, Timothy, how Grandma Lois went to church? Do you remember Grandma Lois reading her Bible? Do you remember Grandma Lois just praying on her knees for you? Do you remember the hard times Grandma went through and she stayed strong? And now, Timmy, do you remember your mom? And do you remember your mom's faith? Do you remember your mom's encouragement? Do you remember your mom and her hardships and how she continued to serve Jesus? Now, Timmy, I know that your grandmother and your mother had strong faith, and that faith, Timmy, lives in you. It's a generational blessing that went down from the grandmother to the mother, now to the son. You see, what you do in your generation will have an impact on the next. And of all the people that Paul could have used, he would choose his mom and his grandmother to encourage him. You see, the odds were against Timothy to grow up to be a godly man. The odds were against Timothy to actually grow up to serve Jesus. Why do I say that? Because Timothy came from a broken home. Timothy came from an absent father. Timothy came from a broken home with torn relationships. We know this because in Acts chapter 16, verse 1, Paul talks about it. He says, he came to Derbe and to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and what? A believer. But whose father was what? Greek and what? Nothing else. His dad was a nobody. You see, historians will tell us that Timothy's father was Greek. And when you called someone Greek in that culture, you were pretty much telling them that they were pagan. And she was a believer. And I know I got some moms that are unequally yoked with fathers that don't serve the Lord. But that did not stop her from raising her son in the faith. I know it's hard if you come back home to a husband that didn't come to church today. I know that it's hard to have a husband and a father that doesn't pray with you. And it might be hard to have a husband that doesn't have the same faith as you. But ladies, let this be an encouragement to you. You don't need a man to lead a godly legacy. And some people say not only was he surrounded by paganism, But ultimately, historians believe that Timothy's father would either die or leave him. So Timothy grew up in a house with two women. He did not have a father figure in his life. He did not have a male role model in his life. Later on, he would have Paul as that role model. But Timothy grew up in a culture where he did not have a male figure in a time where men were considered to be the authority and the leaders, and they were the ultimate influence. And men were the ones that were responsible for leading the children in godliness. And without a male figure in the home, the odds of growing up to fear and love the Lord were very slim. See, in my version of the Bible, I would say that Timothy should have been out in the streets. Timothy should have been out womanizing. Should have been out doping it up and partying up at the club. He should have not been in church. He should not have been praying. He should not have been planting a church. He should not have been preaching the gospel. He should not have been used for the kingdom of God. So why is it that we have a man here who grew up in a home without a man, serving the Lord beyond what he ever imagined? It's because of the influence of a mother and a grandmother. It matters what you do. And he had a mom and a grandma that would take the task of raising this boy in the Word of God. And we don't know how and we don't know when, but somewhere in their life, mom and grandma got saved and met Jesus. And when they got saved, they were all in. They did not waver. They did not question it. And they stood strong on the word of the Lord. Can you imagine when that woman came home to her ungodly husband and she said, I met Jesus and he's my Lord and he's my Savior and I have chosen to serve him. Are you in and out? And the husband said, oh, I'm out. That's not for me. Forget that. She said, forget you then. But she would raise Timothy in the ways of God. What stood out to me is this mom and this grandmother, Lois and Eunice. Because I was thinking, Lord, who am I going to preach about on Mother's Day? I need a real strong, biblical, strong warrior mom. And today in churches all across America, who are we going to preach about? Well, we're going to preach about Ruth. We're going to preach about Deborah, the warrior. We might preach about Mary, the mother of Jesus. But I guarantee if you go to church today and say, hey, you know who Lois and Eunice are? You know, how many of you know who Lois and Eunice were before this message? One person, my mom, the veteran Christian. The rest of you heathens didn't know who Lois was? And Eunice? But you see, it doesn't matter if no one knows you. You can do amazing things as a mom and a grandma. And these women said, we're going to be a lighthouse to Timothy. And through the fog of confusion, we're going to light and show him Jesus. And through the storms of life, we're going to make sure our fire is going. And through all the hard times and the brokenness of being in a home without a man, imagine in that culture what it was like not to have a man in the home. It was almost impossible to have a good life. But through all the odds that were against these women, through everything that the culture was saying about them, these women grew up to raise Timothy to love the Lord. And they became a lighthouse. A beacon of hope, strength, and guidance. That's why I love our church so much. Because as I look at our church, I see a lot of women here, like Lois and Eunice. You're not like Ruth, you're not like Deborah. Or even Eve, the first mother, or even the mother of Jesus like Mary. There are women in this church, you don't even know who they are. Just like Lois and Eunice. who had it hard at home. I'm talking about in this church, we have lighthouses raising our children. There are single moms in this church who, like Eunice, had a husband that was foolish or a husband that walked out on them or a husband that's an unbeliever. There are women in this church that have a broken home, who are coming from torn relationships, who are coming from divorce, who are raising children on their own. There are women in this church that can tell you, I felt like the odds were against me to raise a godly child. But you know what else I see in the women we have in our church? That they're standing on the Word of God and raising their children in the ways of the Lord. I think about all the women that might say it's not easy raising a godly child, but then I look at the children's ministry and I see Aliana back there doing the media, Next Generation. And I see Amanda and I see Alize there helping out in the children's ministry. And I see our kids excited about the Word of God. And I see Hunter and I see River and I see Callie, the next generation after them, serving the Lord right now. You know what? That what I'm trying to tell you is you don't need to have all the perfect conditions to raise a godly family. You just have to be like Lois and Eunice and know that the Lord stands with you. And they made the decision to be a lighthouse, to raise a godly child. It's not easy. And the odds are stacked against you. But if you stand firm in the Word of God and you do not compromise and keep your fire burning, you're going to be discouraged like Timothy. You're going to go through fear. You're going to go through loneliness. And that fire in you is going to dwindle. But if you will continue to fan the flame and your passion with the Word of God and keep going, there's no telling the legacy you can leave behind and the impact like the lighthouse that your little light can make on the future generation. You know, it's scary because I think about my own family now that I'm a father. And I think about my grandmother and my mother. And as I think about them in Mother's Day, I think about how my grandmother was the first believer in our family. And she became a lighthouse when she found Jesus Christ. And she would be a light to my mother and father who were unsaved. She would be a light to my mother who wanted nothing to do with church on a Sunday, but everything to do with the beach. Yeah, mom, you imagine that? She wanted nothing, but my grandmother never gave up. Because lighthouses don't stop shining just because it's dark. Just because it's foggy and just because it's stormy. They keep shining and standing. And my mother heard the gospel and my father, and they gave their lives to Jesus. So now my mother got saved and had me and two other brothers, whatever. But now I look at my child and I see my daughter and I see Jerrica, her mother. And that's the next generation. And I see my amazing wife every night sit down with Callie to pray with her. And as they do bath time together, and if you look at my bathroom, it used to be my bathroom, it's Callie's bathroom now. On the wall, there's these hymnals that Jerrica loves to sing over her as they have bath time every night, singing hymns. And I look at my daughter watching Christian cartoons, and that songs are in my head embedded forever, and I have anxiety. But the thing is that now we're raising a child of our own. And I look at River and I look at Hunter and I see our kids here and I see the children's ministry and I see every generation coming by and every generation growing. And if you would just have the faith to be that lighthouse, to stand firm in the Word of God and keep shining your little fire. Even though it's a small little candle, what you're doing matters. You keep shining. You keep telling your kids about Jesus. You keep bringing them to church. You keep praying over them. You keep standing strong in faith without compromise. You're going to see the next generation be just as fired up about Jesus than you are. And that is the ultimate goal for all of us here. It's to instruct our children in the ways they should go so that when they're old, they will not depart from it. That's why I'm grateful for mothers like Lois and Eunice, who maybe had a broken home, maybe didn't have the perfect marriage, maybe had a husband that was ungodly, but when it came time to serving Jesus, they stood their ground, and in the end were a light and a hope to Timothy, who continued to plant the church and preach the gospel around the entire world. And that's why Paul would say, remember the faith of your mother and the faith of your grandmother. Because your faith, I believe, has an impact on the next generation after you. And not only should that encourage you, that should bring the fear of God over you. Because I think about generations. Like candles. Like the lighthouse. And I think about my grandmother. And I'm not going to put a candle on this one because she's gone. And she's with the Lord now. But she went home to be with Jesus, knowing that her generation after, her daughters, knew the Lord. So this generation's my mother. And I cut this candle down a third here because that's where my mom is now in her life. That's her, okay. This is where her generation's at. Listen, to all my boomers, you ain't gonna burn forever. I mean, some of you might. You're in a generation where eventually your candle is going to burn out. And I look at my mom. She's the next generation to go. It's sad. Brings tears to my eyes. Because we always think that our loved ones are going to be with us forever. And if you're 60, 70, 80, this is you. You're in that final turn. But see, my mother has kept her fire burning up to this very moment right now. And has raised three children, preaching them the gospel. Bringing them to church, reading her Bible, giving us wisdom according to the Word of God, standing on the truth. And it made an impact in my generation, me, and my other two brothers. So now her light made an impact. And I cut my candle down a little bit in the middle, halfway, because I'm middle-aged. Apparently. And I look at my generation. And we're almost there. If you're now, you're just about in the middle. But my fire keeps burning. And I've had my Timothy days, discouragement, wanting to quit. Just give up on this vision God gave you. Give up on this ministry. Just walk out on it. But then I think about my fire. And how I can. Because I'm not perfect, but I love Jesus. And I didn't realize the impact my mother had and her faith would have on me. And I always thought, man, it's not, why is mom always on my business? Why is she always on my case? I realize now why. Because when Callie was born, little pink candle for her. When Callie was born, I realized now that my responsibility as a father, I'm just going to hold it. My responsibility as a father is to make sure that my little girl is going to grow up one day, and leave the house, and get married, I know. And one day I'm going to be here, gone. But I want to go here knowing that in my generation, my daughter has a fire for Jesus because of the faith she saw in her parents. And that faith was a direct result of the faith they saw in their parents and their parents and then on. So that in the future, generations can go. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I want to know that a century from now, they're still serving the Lord because of our generational choices.
Amen.
Come on. And I'll close with this. All it takes, here's the frightening part. All it takes is one compromise, one burnout. Just think about it. My grandmother loved Jesus, and she made sure her fire burned and it impacted my mom. But what if my mother would have compromised, burned out, walked out on the faith, stopped going to church, not be so radical? You know, I'm not, you know, I'm a Christian, I guess, but you know, just in the world, distracted, not reading the scriptures. Then it would not have made an impact on my life. Nothing would have come out of it. So then when my mother goes, I would have been here with no fire for the Lord because of the generations behind me. And when Callie's born and I have no fire for God, I can't expect her to have a fire for God now because I don't have a fire for the Lord. Do you realize that your compromise and the generational choices you make today will have centuries of consequences tomorrow? But I thank God that I had a grandmother that's gone now, who made sure that she would shine her light as a lighthouse to my mom. And my mother's fire would burn. So that, and her fire now impacted me. And as it impacted me now, it's going to impact Callie because Jerrica and I, we're determined to raise that little girl in the ways of God. And she has grandparents that are determined to raise them in the ways of God so that when she grows up, the generations after her will serve the Lord. But all it takes is one compromise, one choice to burn out. And that's why the devil wants you fire. Because he knows that if he can have your fire, he can have the next generation. Think about that next time you say in front of your kids, we're too tired, we're not going to church today. Think about that next time you rather watch TV than go with and read the Bible at night. Think about next time you want to be a bad example and talk bad of them and treat their mother wrong or their father wrong or complain all the time. Think about next time you want to compromise and allow worldliness into your home. Because every choice you make has a generational consequence. And everyone says, I want to raise godly children. I want to raise my child in the church. I want my children to serve the Lord. And that's great. But look at verse 5. As Paul talks about the generation of the grandmother and the mother and now the child. Notice he says, I have been reminded of the sincere faith. Which what? Which what? One more time. First lived in your grandmother and Lois. If you want the next generation to love Jesus, it starts with you first. It starts with you first. And I want to tell anyone here this morning that maybe you may not have a generation behind you of godliness. Maybe your grandmother didn't serve the Lord. Your mother didn't serve the Lord. So be the first. Be the one that says, I'm going to be the first to love Jesus and keep my fire going so that the future children I have and the generations after me will be impacted by my faith. Because Paul reminds us that faith is generational. It has an impact. That's why it's so important that you lead a godly life and legacy. It starts with you first. And one of the things I learned as a parent, I'm no expert, but there's something I learned when I look at my daughter's eyes, and when I look at River, and when I look at Hunter, and when I look at all the children in our church, I've learned this frightening truth. Children don't listen. Can I get a witness? They don't listen. But here's what I've learned. Children won't always listen to what you say. But they will always do what they see. And it scares me. Because you got to stop saying, do what I say, do what I say. Wouldn't it be great for you to have the courage and the confidence to say, son, daughter, do as you see. Could you say that right now? Because children will not always do what you say, but they'll always do what they see. And even if the last generation fails, you can be the first. I know it seems hard, it seems impossible, but verse 7 tells us how. He says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of fear, but of power, of love, and of self-discipline. You have the power. These are God-given things He's given you. Love, power, and a sound mind, discipline, self-control to raise godly children. It starts with you. I want all the mothers to stand up this morning. Come on. Come on, give them a round of applause, man. These are moms. And I want you to look at verse 5 as we pray over these women today. Verse 5, Paul says, I've been reminded of your sincere faith which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother. Paul said, I've been reminded. You know what's interesting? As my grandmother went to be with the Lord, there are still things in life that remind me of her. There's certain smells and certain candies. And as I drive by in Hialeah, I look at places we used to go to and I'm reminded of her. And when my mother goes to be with the Lord, there's going to be certain things that remind me of her. Windy days are going to remind me of you, Mom, as I sit on the porch like we used to. Every time I see a wiener dog, I'm going to look and remind me of Mom. There's going to be certain sounds, certain smells, certain sights that will remind you of your loved ones. Amen? Because even though you go, people will still be reminded based on the choices you made. So ladies, I want to ask you this tonight. What do your kids... What will your kids remember when you're gone? What will they be reminded of? I want to invite all the moms to come here today. Because like Timothy, these are mothers that might go through seasons of discouragement and fear, and like they're burning out and their fire is going. But I want to remind you, ladies, today to fan the flame, the fire that's in you. Don't burn out. Don't give up. And don't quit. Because God has not given you a spirit of fear. And maybe you have fear today. How am I going to make it? How am I going to provide? I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. How am I going to raise godly children? The fear is what stops your faith. But the Word of God says, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but you ladies right now have been given power to raise godly children. God has given you love. He loves you so much in spite of your shortcomings and failures and sin. He loves you, and of all the children, He thought of you to raise them because He loves you. And He gives you a sound mind, discipline and control in your mind, not your emotions. That's what God has given you. So today I want to ask Jerrica to lead you in prayer today. Would you come up here today? As we dismiss today.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the beautiful gift of being a mother, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for each and every single mother, Lord, here. Lord, we celebrate them. We celebrate, Lord, their loving sacrifice that they show their children daily. Lord, thank You, Lord, for the gift of being a nurturer, Lord, for being a protector to our children, for being a support to our family, Jesus. Help us be a lighthouse in our family to continue to burn our light, Lord, and shine the light, Lord, that You have given us. Lord, we thank You and we praise You, Lord. Lord, we pray over the further generations to come, Jesus, and the children that we have, Lord. We thank You for their uniqueness, Lord, and for their gift, Lord. Bless each and every mother, Lord, with joy, grace, and strength, Lord, and to continue their selfless devotion to You. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Come on, give God some praise this morning. You guys can have a seat this morning. And we thank You, Mom, for everything that You guys do and everything that You guys endure. The reality is that being a mom is a gift from God. And if you're here this morning, and maybe you've lost your mother, I want you to know that the Lord is a God of encouragement. And I love what Paul did here. Paul was not married. Paul had no children. And maybe you're saying, well, Pastor, I'm not even married. I don't have children. But Paul became a spiritual father to Timothy, which reminds me that you could also be a spiritual mother and a spiritual father to someone that needs one. But take this message to heart and understand that every choice you make has generational blessing or a generational curse tied behind it. Father, I thank You for this word, and I thank You, Lord, for all the people we have here today and all the moms. I pray for all the mothers that are raising children today, that their fire will continue to burn, that they will be the lighthouse in the darkness and in the fog that lights the way in which the children should go, given the power, the love, and the sound mind they need to raise children in the godly generation and the godless generation we're living now. We thank You for all the mothers in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Come on, give God some praise today.